One other thing, you know, I get letters sometimes that's not very pleasing. And I have to take that with a grain of salt, because I'm going to preach the Word of God. I don't care what anybody says. But on the other hand, I do get once in a while letters that God blesses my heart. I got a brother who sent me a letter this past week. I preached a message a couple weeks ago on Behold Your God. And I don't know if anybody else got anything in it, but I know one brother that did. And he sent this letter to me. Thanks so much for the message. I want to thank you in my own way. The phrase, Behold My God, is stuck in my head and constantly all week during the days. And he said, in a way, it has become a bit of a game to see how I can add Behold Your God before and after every thought or saying. And I'm going to read the whole thing in this, but I want to read it. He wrote a poem, Behold Your God, and sent to me, and it's 21 stanzas in this particular poem. But I'm not going to read them all to you, but I want to read some of them to you, because it's and you could put, after each one of these stanzas, you could put Behold Your God there. But he said, first starts off, says, As I open dull eyes to greet a new day, sleep attacks my mind, holding activity at bay, to my behold your God. There's nothing new. It happens every day. Again, the fight ensues, and the same as yesterday. Behold your God. It also says, I'm not going to read all of these, but because they're all good, but take the sake of time. Am I awakened much too soon? Has the night not run its course? Has the sun given way to the moon? Has God changed his universe? Behold your God. In the midst of mortal perplexity, and lawful physics invade the scene. Dawn chases the oppressed ebony, but night is faster than light can speed. Light reveals the had been hidden things, and creation erupts the acts of praise. Leafy trees give a water offering, and flowers unfold in a splendid array. Behold your God. Mighty eagles soar through the sky, adding majesty to early sunrise, swooping, diving in abandoned flight, boasting perfection in God's design. The sun, the earth itself thus waves, the God in heaven above, adding its own heartfelt praise, attesting to God's great love. Yet beneath praise and celebration, great sorrow and expectation lies. Woe to man and cursed creation, groaning, looking to reigning Christ. Behold your God. My lethargy is shattered. God did it again. If creation is faithful, why not every man? Granny knew the blessed secret. She was always up before daylight. No stain from foot to bonnet. Behold, your God protects the right. I would be Granny's apt pupil and follow her wise precedent. I've learned, as she did, God's counsel, line upon line, precept upon precept. Behold your God and see, if not blinded by the world, how much more it means than a trinity of just simple words. Behold your God. That's a blessing to me. I preach hard and I study hard, and when I get something that's out of the normal, it encourages me. Amen. Take your Bible, if you will, and open with me. And we've got a couple, probably more sessions, and then we'll be through this subject. And if you will, go ahead and open up. You can turn to Genesis again, 38, if you'd like, for just a few minutes. We'll be going there in just a few minutes. Our Father, we open your book again, Lord, and thank you for the precious Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that when it's preached, there is division. You have some who listen and maybe wish they hadn't. You have others who listen and glad they did. We know this, your Word is powerful. Dear Father, it's the power of God to salvation. We are so grateful to know it can show us, even though we resist it, what sin is, and make us feel miserable under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God when sin is in our life and not put under the blood and not know Jesus as Savior. Sometimes people are miserable and they don't know why they're miserable. It's only the love of God convincing and convicting them of where they're at. and how much he loves them, because he wants them to know who he is. And they can't know him like they should. None of us can if sin's in the way. So we ask tonight you to help us study your precious word together. Grant to us, Lord, the ability to understand, the power to deliver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week we was getting down to the final, the purpose and the potential and the principles that we have. Purpose of God. God developed that potential that we don't know that we even have, that he knows is there. And when it's committed to him, he develops that, which in turn that we may sometimes know we have. But he does that, that we might be able to fulfill his purpose. He sees in us what we don't see in ourselves. I don't know of any man, probably whoever God has called into the ministry, didn't say somewhere down in his ministry over on the Sunday side of life, as he looked back, he never dreamed that God could use him like he had, because the ministry didn't mean, as he walked into it, what he thought it was and what actually happened is entirely different. And if he knew before he went into it some of the things he had to face, he might have shunned and run from God. But God developed and trained him and worked with him, and now he looks back and he's grateful that he brought out a potential that even they didn't know. And since I've been on this, some people in there right here in this church have said, "Brother, I understand, I know that. I'm doing things I never thought I would do. I've stuck with things for the God's called me that I never thought I could do. I never knew I had the potential because I was not made that way. But God showed me in my life there's some things I have to do because it's God's purpose for my life. And I have to, though I didn't think I had the potential, I had the power. God showed me I did. And now the only thing I really need to work, as all of us do, is on the principles. Those principles that guides us to make decisions that bring glory and honor to God rather than satisfying the flesh. Now, you may find God's purpose for your life. You may have the potential, but you will never reach your potential in God's purpose for your life unless you have some godly principles of the guideline, that you're determined, that you committed yourself to the Lord, and that's where success is, whether it be here and also in eternity. Now, these principles will keep you on the road towards your purpose in life. Some people have potentials to do some great things with God. I think people in this church got some potential to do some great things with God. God has called some people according to his eternal purpose. But at the same time, the potential cannot come out unless there are some principles or guidelines committed. That's commitment to God, and therefore he works with us. And I believe that this fits any age in life. I really believe that, because in any age in life, there are some things that we need to have guidelines from youth right on up. I say a number of times, when it comes to young ladies, young ladies need some guidelines, some principles in their life. And one of those principles is they should not let a boy touch them until they're married. That should be a guideline. Another one should be for men. Young men need to get some principles, guidelines. Do not get on drugs. Determine that. Do not commit yourself to alcohol. Do not commit yourself to those things which in turn will destroy and take away from your mind rather than enhancing your and our mind. We should have some principles. We ought to understand that there's a difference in obeying God and disobeying God. And we ought to understand we can't say we're obeying God if we're disobeying him all the time. We can teach ourselves that, but unless we do, there is nothing that you and I, there's nothing God will do for us much unless we commit ourselves to him. He can make us do anything he's never going to do. He didn't make you get saved. He didn't make me get saved, but he gave me the opportunity to get saved. And he did everything for me so I could get saved. And so the same thing with our life. He won't make us do anything. He'll lay it out before us, but he'll not make us do it. He could. Don't you think that? Don't you think he could? If you don't, wake up. He can, I'll tell you that. But he's not going to do that because he gives us the opportunity, and he rewards because we take advantage of those opportunities. And that's where we began, the supremes of God, down to where we are now, serving the Lord himself. I mean, young men need to learn to live and die with some godly principles. Now, the reason I said for you to turn with to the book of Deuteronomy, and we're looking down about verse 38. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy, actually Genesis, I'm sorry, in Genesis, about 38 and 39. Last week, Sunday, we looked at chapter 37, but now I want you to let's look. Here's the story, and here's a good example, I think. We know, we studied Joseph a little bit last Sunday night, And Joseph certainly had some part, probably had some things to deal with as far as a young boy, 17 or less years old. He went through some things. But one thing Joseph had as he matured in life, he had some principles. And he knew, being raised in a home from his dad, no doubt, that God set for some standards. And here's a standard. We see Joseph as a young boy, probably around 20 years old. He was 17 years old in chapter 37. And now his journey has brought him down to Egypt. He's been sold as a slave to some Israelites. And he's been taken to Egypt, and then he's been bought by a fellow by the name of Potiphar and an officer of Pharaoh in chapter 39, verse 1. This officer was a captain of the guards of Egypt. And the Lord was with Joseph in verse 2, and he was a prosperous man. And we go further and see his master saw that the Lord in verse 3 was with him, that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now, Joseph had to be close to God. And one of the factors is when God separated him from his family, he got closer to God. He had no one to turn to. Down in Egypt by himself is not a good place for a young boy, 18 to 20 year old, to be. And so he had no one to turn to but God. And he shows the caliber of this man as his life begins to develop, while he's also showed as an example or type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on and said, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, verse 4, and made him overseer of his house. Potiphar made him overseer of his house and all that he had put in his land. In verse 5, the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake. Verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a godly person and well favored. Can you imagine this? A Jew boy, Israelite boy, brothers hated him. His daddy favored, that made him hate him worse. They were going to kill him. God preserved him, put him in a pit. And then while they were sitting down eating, deciding what to do, a caravan comes through. And they set him to make a little deal out of this. And God brings him down to Egypt. And the first thing you know, he's in a fellow's house who is a captain of Pharaoh guard. And in that house, he's so favored with a period of time, within a few weeks or months, that this man, Potiphar, put him in charge of everything he had. You've got to have confidence in a person to do that. I don't know too many people that you can put everything you've got confidence in. Do you? If you do, you're fortunate. It amazes me what little things can happen. This Joseph did everything that was right and honorable, and he could be trusted. And Potiphar trusted him. Came to pass, though, after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Let lie with me." Now, here's a case where the master was gone most of the time because of who he was in the high rank of Pharaoh's army. Here, Joseph was in the house, young boy, 20, prime of his life, probably 19, 20, 21, somewhere along there, prime of his life, and he's in and out. He has to go in the house to do business because he looked after the affairs of this man, this captain of the guard. And one day he goes in, and I don't know, maybe his wife, Potiphar's wife, was lonely. Maybe she'd done this before. We don't know. But one day she comes to Joseph when he comes in and says, "Come lie with me." Now, the thinking of today in most people's mind would be, well, the master's gone all the time anyhow. She's lonely. We're here right by herself. No one's going to ever find out about it. What could be wrong with that? Well, God says it's wrong because it's wrong. And Joseph said it's wrong. And Joseph then tells her, watch, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not that is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he had to my hand." Potiphar had committed everything Joseph had to his hand. And Joseph said, "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife." He says to his wife, Potiphar's wife, "My master has kept me over everything in this house. There's nothing in this house that I don't have control of but you. And you are my master's wife. And watch what he says, though. He says he had kept back everything from me, but because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness? Now watch, folks. Here's the key. He didn't say, how can I do this great wickedness to get put apart my master who's given me everything in his house? There's someone higher than that. He's involved with a circumstance. It's not his call. She's doing this to him. Notating how many days that he'd been going through there, she's been thinking about this, and now gets the courage to do this and calls him to come in live with her. And he says, I can't do this. My master's been great to me. I'm in charge of everything in this house but you. But when he talks about this, he says, because thou art his wife, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That's principles. That's God-given principles. It ain't that I might get by with it and with Potiphar, maybe it'd be done and never be seen. No one know about that. But he says, one thing about this is God knows. And I can't sin against him. Folks, that's powerful. This tells me about Joseph that he has principles to stop something before it happens. Then notice, if you will, said it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. She kept it up day by day every time he'd go in there. It wasn't a one-time thing. It wasn't he just got the victory over a sudden. He kept right on. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have some strong principles if it happens day after day after day after day, because Satan knows how to break us down. Amen, whether you say it or not. Satan knows how to break every man in here down. He knows exactly how to do it. By the way, he knows how to break women down too. And what we're saying is this, you got to have some principle. You may have know God's purpose, you may have potential, and God developed that, but I have some principles or guidelines to know there's some standards I can't go beyond because I know who God is. And she came back, and she came back, and she came back, and 11 said, it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house were there within. Everybody was gone. And she caught him by his garment. This time she's really intense in this thing. Said, lie with me. And he left his garment in his hand, and he fled, and he got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, then she called unto the men of the house and spake to them. Now she couldn't get him to do something against God. What does she do? She lies about it and still gets him in trouble. Satan couldn't break Joseph. So Satan used her to lie about Joseph, to send him a path now, not second in command, but to prison over a lie. And he goes, I'm talking about principles. This is a God-given example of a man who had some principles, which in turn God could bring out his potential, and he did in this. He came second in command of Egypt before it's over with, in God's purpose. Now, as I read this story, I understand why God manipulated everything they were going to do to get him where he could be in God's purpose. They were the cause of him getting there, but God was manipulating it towards his purpose. They were guilty of what they did, but God still manipulated it toward his purpose. I'm glad he can overcome evil with good in our lives if we stand the test. And I going down, he said, and they called it to the men of the house and spake to them, saying, see here, he had brought the Hebrew and this mocked us, and he came to me and to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. Boy, she turned it all around, didn't she? Wonder why God put this in here. Said, it sounds like a soap opera story. No, it's better than a soap opera story, I tell you that. It's showing principles. And he goes on, he said, it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, and he left the garment with me, and here I got in my hand, so far I'm paraphrasing. She said his garment to her, and she spake to him according to those words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us have come unto me and mocked me. And it came to pass, I lifted up my voice and I cried. boy, when you lie, don't you? And it came to pass when his master heard these words of his wife, which she had spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant come unto me, and this wrath was kindled. Why wouldn't it be? If it was true, it'd be kindled, and he doesn't know whether it's true or not because she's lying. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, and a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Ladies and gentlemen, in the way that we think of things in the natural realm, how in the world could you say from a natural standpoint God was showing favor and grace to Joseph? He's left his home because his brother hates him. He's sold for money. He's going to a strange place by himself, knowing no one. He gets there and is sold to a prisoner, a guard. He's in the house and does nothing but what is right, and he's condemned. And now, instead of the second place in Potiphar's house, he's in prison. That doesn't sound like God's grace much, does it? Would it do you? Can you ever thought about what Joseph thought? By the way, God has not told Joseph as he step by step what he's doing here. He's enduring some things, folks, that many of us have to endure in life to understand everyday practice of life that means some great things if God is where you ought to be in the result of that life. And here we see that. And of course, you know the story. God uses two other means to get him out. And there he leaves from the lowest part of the prison. And within just a short period of time, he ends up being second command of the nation of Egypt. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know why? Because that's God's purpose. He had potentials. God brought the potentials out. And Joseph had some standards. He had some principles. He says, when I do anything, I pray that God help me see him. And folks, by the way, we have a better advantage on than Joseph had. Joseph didn't have the Holy Spirit living in him. You and I do. Joseph didn't have a complete word of God like we have. You and I do. And I bet you that many times you'll find the day will come that we had the word and knew what it to do, and yet somehow or another the flesh overrode and our principles were knocked down and we got caught in some way as far as life is concerned. And we find it now that Joseph, what gets me is you look back over in the last chapter, he died being about 110 years old. If he'd been about 20, so that's why he lived what, be about 90 years old? I mean, he lived about 90 years after this. He died at 110 years old. The last chapter in Genesis tells us that. But I like in verse 20 of the last chapter, he says, when his brothers finally came back to him, and they were concerned, and now Jacob's dead, and his sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him there. And he says, and when Joseph's brethren, verse 15, saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us now and will certainly requite us of all the evil which we did unto him. The dead's died, they buried him, the brothers get together and say, you know, Joseph's been real kind to us right now, but he can't forget what we've done. Since our dad's gone, he's going to retaliate. He's second command. What can we do? We can't do anything. He's second command of Egypt. I mean, he can speak and our heads roll. Surely what we did to him is going to cause him to retaliate against us. It's an amazing thing when you're walking with God, what happens. You can love your enemies. And here's what he said in verse 20. It goes on, and his brother went into and fell down before his face in verse 18. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Why? To bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. What a wonderful thing to go on someone's tombstone. Everything you thought to do on this side, I didn't understand it then. Let me ask you folks, can you imagine what would happen when Joseph was thrown down in that pit the first thing? There's no water in it. He's thrown down in that pit. He goes to his brothers just for his dad said do, and here they say that dreamer cometh, and they take and they strip him and go to kill him, but decide because of Reuben to put him in that pit. And he's sitting down deep in that dark pit. Wonder what's going through his mind. I hope someday the Lord will let us know. But I'll tell you this, I guarantee you he won't rejoice. He was wondering, how in the world can this happen to me? You know why? Because that's what we'd be saying to start with. Lord, what's wrong? Why has this happened? Lord, you know, even the dreams and things you give me and the walking with you with what problems I've had, and certainly had some up to 17 years old, now he's in that pit. And then all of a sudden, they come to get him out of the pit, and he thinks, well, what's going to happen now? Maybe he heard them discussing they're going to kill him and send his coat back to the dad. A lot of things went on here God didn't tell us about. But he's a human being, and his mind, no doubt, run with thoughts, even though he had his principles. What in the world is going on, Lord? And then suddenly, when he finds out that they're selling him to a people, going to Egypt, which he would never probably see his family again. Well, he's still alive, though. And then he gets down there, and suddenly he's in a good place, in one of the high people of Egypt, captain of the Pharaoh's army, and he's rose to the highest in his house over everything. That sounds wonderful. No doubt, maybe. And I paraphrase it, but praise God, I'm glad I can do that some, because I understand how this would affect me. What would I have done? It's no good for me to read about Joseph if I can't understand, Lord, what would I have done if I'd been in that situation? This is written not just to tell me about Joseph, but tell me there are ways God can help us do things in adverse circumstances we never thought we'd do. And he gets there, and he gets down to Egypt, and suddenly he looks back and says, well, you know, thank the Lord, this is not the end. I made some friends here, and God has really blessed me, and God has really brought me up in this. And all of a sudden, this happened. It's bad enough for the brothers to do what they did to him, but now this happens. And he stands on his principles. And yet his master at this time believes his wife and shoots him back in the Lord's prison of Egypt. How in the world can that be in God's plan? By the way, charismatics have a hard time with that today, because they tell you everything's good if you're doing what you want to do. They'll tell you everything's Johnson County hunky-dory if you're doing everything God says do. But here's a man kept his principles. And then you know the story. He met two men in the prison, and finally one of them went back to the king because he had a dream, and Joseph came back and told him what to interpret the dream was, and 7 years famine and coming to Egypt. And so because of this, he put Joseph in charge, second command, and he ended up having his own family have to come to Egypt to survive. God sent Joseph there this unusual way so he'd see that God did it, and his own family had to go to Egypt to survive the famine. And so that's why I say to you, when we think about these, live and die by some godly principles. And I think Joseph is a man that shows us in the Scripture that did that. I long to see him someday. I know I'm going to see him, but I long to hear him someday. Just, I'd love to hear some stories about in heaven, if God will let it permit, what went on his mind. Maybe you don't want to remember that. But ladies and gentlemen, these are not, quote, superheroes. They're everyday children who love God and just day by day do what they have to do to survive, trusting God for the outcome. And time will produce the results, either here or in eternity. Now, I know, I thought about this. I know that I'm almost 72 years old. I know I'm wearing out, believe me, every joint. I thought about arthritis in my shoulder and my arms, and some of you understand that. You say, preacher, you give me ailments. Well, I hear a lot of others. Why can't I tell you a little bit about mine? Amen. No, I'm just telling you for a point. I realize that these things are there. I realize my eyes are going bad. I realize here is not what it was at one time. But I have this promise in God's Word in 2 Corinthians 4:16. That my mind has been renewed day by day. As this body is dying, my mind's been renewed by day. It may forget some things and be a little space between some things once in a while because of my memory, but my mind, and I claim the promise of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, that the inward man is growing day by day. You know why? Because this book is the power source for that inward man. And that's what I think we see here. Though Joseph didn't have the complete scriptures like we do, he knew who God was. And he knew what he wanted to do as a young man. Only the Word of God that is written in our hearts can cause us to have good principles in life. The question is, have you found God's purpose for your life? What did God put you here for? God wants to use someone like you and also like me. Surrender to God, then give him your best. Set your principles high that will keep you within the boundaries of your purpose. And it's Colossians 3, when you start it out, verse 16 says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. And so the question would be, do I know God's promise, God's purpose for me? In other words, do I know and see God's divine design for me since I've been born physically? Somewhere along the line, God has shown me, and I'm not here just for this world. He had a divine design for me, and he has for everyone else. But it'll never come to develop the potential of that unless we have the principles that we're going to set our face, focus like a flint, like Jesus said when he go to Jerusalem, that we're going to do what we feel he would have us to do. We surrender to God, then give him our best and set some principles that can keep you within the boundaries. If you do know God's purpose, if so, you have the potential, God will develop your skill. He qualifies. I love what I heard me talking to people yesterday. It's talking about different, going to school and not going to school and so forth. And then God called some brother to preach, and this brother made a statement. He said, well, you know, it looks like nowadays that everybody feels like you got to go to college to get a degree before God called you to preach. That's hogwash. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to college to get a degree, but you can get all the degrees you want and still can't preach if God hadn't called you like God wants you to. You have to be called of God to be in the, to be where this is at, and that's the thing we miss today. It ain't a mom and dad sent thing. It's something God has to do. And if he calls you in your heart what to do, the only way you'll be satisfied is when you do it. And that's what we see here. If you have the potential, God will develop that potential. The question is, do you know the purpose? Are you letting him divide to set your potential? Have you set the principle for your life? That is, those rules of conduct to operate in life. The former for says here in eternity is that. I want to go to Deuteronomy and read a couple verses quickly, and then next week will be the last time because this will be just the end of this night. Next week we'll look at something and finish the whole thing. In Deuteronomy, first of all, chapter 10 and verse 12 through 17, here's what God told Israel in the Old Testament just before they was going over into the Promised Land. It's kind of a rehearsal of everything that happened in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. In verse 12, he said, now, O Israel, of chapter 10, now, O Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Wouldn't you let them know that? What would the Lord thy God require of us? Well, here's what he said to Israel. To fear the Lord, number one, thy God. To walk in all his ways, not some of his ways, in all his ways, number two. And to love him, number three. And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. That's what God told Israel he asked of them. To keep the commandments, the Lord his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heavens and the heavens of heavens. The Lord thy God is there. The earth also with all that there is therein is. Verse 15, the Lord had delight in thy father to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even though you above all people, talking to Israel in this day, talking about circumcision, verse 17. For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, as great God, a great God, a mighty, a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh rewards. He does execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widows, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Now, turn over to chapter 30. That tells us who he is. Watch these verses now when he talks to us. This God who declares who he is and what he asked of us. In chapter 30, he says to Israel in 19 and 20, look at verse 17 first. He said, if thy heart turn away, so thou wilt not hear, thou shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve him. I'll denounce you unto this day, that ye shall surely perish, and that ye have not prolonged your days upon the land wherein thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. In other words, they had to do what God said to do individually, and if they did that, put the sin on to Calvary, and Jesus paid for it. But they didn't play with it. It wasn't played with. They had to do it, and they can't say they're doing it. They had to do just like God said do. Then he says, I denounce you, verse 18, this day, that ye shall surely perish. Now, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. God said, here's who I am. He told them before. And here's what I say for you to do, Israel, if you're going to inherit the land. In this case, the promise that God has made to inherit the land, here's what he says that I'm going to do. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, with these things, if I paraphrase, with these things set before you, let me tell you what I want you to choose. I won't make you, but this is what I want you to choose. I've set before you, again, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sweareth unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to give them. Now, I want to just look in Romans with me, and then that tie these two together. You say, wait a minute, he's talking to the nation of Israel here. Amen, he sure was. But the principle that God sets forth at a different time is the same. We're not going into the land of Canaan and so, but we know what Canaan represents. It's to represent now where we're at in the blessings of God until we get home in glory. But in Romans chapter 2, we see down about verse 5, Paul says this to the church at Rome. After hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto you thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? He said, to them who by patient continue the well and doing seeking for glory and honor and immortal eternal life. But to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. That means kind of upset, resist, quarrel, contentious, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation, and anguish upon every soul man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. He warns the evil side, but he also warns for us who are saved that there is a life that God requires, which is in turn helps us live that which will show who he is in the age of grace. If you can't read the book of Romans, all these chapters, without seeing it coming out, that greater is he that's in you, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And in the age of grace, we're to be able to understand some things about what life is for God and living for God more so than anyone in the Old Testament had. So he said, I said, for blessing and cursing, obedience and disobedience. And then 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, God said this, to obey even to Israel is better than sacrifice. You say, well, I did all these things and give sacrifice. Well, they did. They rolled the sin on. But God said to 1 Samuel, to obey is better than sacrifice. So when we obey the Lord in the age of grace, first for salvation, to trust Christ, and then to live for him, ladies and gentlemen, there is success here, but you may have to travel a route. Not as bad as Joseph, but you may have to travel some like Joseph. Because I guarantee you, wherever God brings us to, and moves us any further, when he does it and you get there, you'll look back and say, boy, ain't God good. He brought me here. I didn't understand it back. I didn't understand the heartache. I didn't understand the tears. I didn't understand the problem. I didn't understand the hate. I didn't understand all of those things. But I had my focus on God. And with his help, I took baby steps maybe, afraid. But took baby steps, afraid. And yet, day by day, God will do what he said he'd do. And Joseph's got nothing over you and I in the age of grace, for we have the Spirit of God living in us. We have the complete Word of God to trust. But when you get over where God wants you to be, and the blessing's there, you'll never say, well, look what I did. You say, look what God did. God's good. Not only did he develop to a result, he developed me in character to get there. He developed me in ways of the Christian life to get there. So we'll understand a little bit about his purpose for our life. Father, thank you again. One more Wednesday night, we'll be through with this. Thank you for the study. Lord, I would to God I could get it across like I feel sometimes. I sit and I think and I think and I think and I think. And then I just have to trust you when I get up to give it. The Lord, I pray, just like this, behold your God, this one person will be blessed because of the study. See God in a fresh new way. See the Holy Spirit where he abides in our hearts. And understand the path that God leads us sometimes may be a winding path, but it's always delivered to the end. Satan never offers anything results, dear Lord, that can be comfort. He may give a little blessing in God's plan and purpose at one time because he has all these things to offer like he offered to Christ. Sometimes we may get tricked to him, but there's tricked in where Christ was not tricked into him. Same time, we believe the Holy Spirit in us, and the Word of God's hid in our heart. He works in that It gets us through the maze to get to the place that God wants us to be. And we look back and say, isn't God good? Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you for every heartache I had, because with those things I've grown closer to you. I see things better. You helped me in my temperance and other things in life. Lord, just so much that God does for us. Sometimes when we're in the midst of adversities. In Jesus' name, we thank you and pray. Amen.